All right, good morning, Northgate. I am super stoked to be here. I'm gonna be completely honest with you guys on my list of fears. Public speaking is pretty high, so bear with me. I'm gonna go ahead and open us into prayer, and then we're just gonna go ahead and get started. God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for this opportunity to live life with these people and to serve you in this body of believers, God. You are such a good God, so deserving of praise and so perfect in nature. I look to you this morning for my strength. Let this message be your words. Let any that are my words fall on deaf ears. Thank you for being a good father to all of your children. Please put your hand on us this morning. In your name, amen. All right, so youth series, we're kind of finishing that out this week. I wanted to talk to you guys about Big Surprise, the youth. But before we get into it, I kind of want to start with a little story. So back in the early days of COVID, back when everybody was making bread and organizing their closets, and it was kind of fun, me and my sister Brianna ended up kind of having a conversation like, I wonder which one out of the two of us has stayed up longer. It was me, easily. But my sister and I are both house cats by nature, and we love our sleep. We do not thrive well when we do not get a full, like, 12 hours of sleep. But we kind of decided, hey, it's COVID, we're in quarantine, there's no rules anymore, let's see if we can stay up for 24 hours. And really, long story short, we did, and it was terrible, and we made it, and we did it for no reason. Like, now I would not do that ever, but we made it, we did it. It messed up our sleep schedule for probably 2 weeks, but we did it. I think that it can be easy to forget how much energy and passion that young people can bring to life, but especially to our church. Most of us, in complete honesty, myself included, can look at kids through very cultural, kids these days, lenses. We just kind of get in the habit of going to school and arguing about chores and boundaries and curfew, and it becomes routine. But if we look at the Bible, we are reminded of some of the really important roles that young people have played throughout the Bible. And one of those most famous stories of youth in the Bible is that of David, who began his journey as a young shepherd boy. I've always pictured him maybe 12 to 14 in this story. God chose David to be a king despite his youth and inexperience. But because of his faith and his boldness in standing up for, despite his youth and inexperience, God chose him to be a king because of his faith and his boldness in standing up for God's glory. We can learn from David that our young people have the potential to do incredible things in God's kingdom if only we give them the chance to use their gifts and talents. So a little bit of context. If you guys wouldn't mind turning to, if you have your Bible, 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to be in verse 31. I'll give you guys a second to get there. A little bit of context. This is when the giant Goliath and the army of the Philistines was threatening Israel. And Goliath stepped up, this 9-foot-tall giant, and was saying, if you send out a challenger to fight me and I beat him, you will become our servants. But if your challenger beats me, you know, 9-foot-tall Goliath, no big deal, then my people will be your servants. David heard this, and David had opinions, as young people do. So we start in 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. When David's words were overheard and reported to Saul, he called for him. That was the king at the time, King Saul. And David said to Saul, "Don't let anybody be discouraged. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul replied to David, "You aren't able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are just a boy. He has been a warrior from his youth." And David replied to Saul, "Your servant has been a shepherd for his father's flock. Whenever a lion or a bear would come and carry off a sheep from the flock, I would go out after it, strike it down, and rescue the sheep from its mouth. If it rose up against me, I would grab it by its jaw, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has struck down both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." David went on to say, "The Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will also deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, the Lord will be with you." All right, go, David. And that's just incredible to me. He is this young boy who's been fighting bears and lions, and he looks at Goliath and he goes, "I've got that. My God has got that. I don't need all this fancy armor. I don't need the sword you're offering me, Your Highness. All I need is the slingshot that God has used to protect me against lions and the bear. All I need is the slingshot as God has used to help me keep my flock safe." I got to spend a lot of time with your kids week before that at Hume, and I can really picture a bunch of them saying, "Hey, there's a bear. Do you think I can ride it?" And I will be like, "No, child, you should not go ride a bear." And you know what the child is going to say? I had a lot of experience with this. "Cool, I'm going to go do it anyway because I think I can." And it's one thing to see the immature. A couple of them actually went bear hunting while we were up at Hume. That's not just me coming up with that. But it's one thing to see the immaturity that comes with youth. Is riding a bear wise? No, it's not. Of course not. The bear will kill you. But as we get older, we get wiser, we get smarter, we get stronger. But if we looked at it from a different angle, we could also say that as we get older, we tend to lose some of that unwarranted faith and courage and passion. And I'm not saying that's true for everyone. But think back to when you were a fellow cool kid, and think of the dreams you had to conquer the world, to go to the moon. When I was a kid, I read a book about a missionary in Africa, and at 10, I was like, when I grow up, I'm going to go to Africa, and I'm going to adopt 14 kids. I'm going to have 7 boys and 7 girls, and I'm going to start a school. And my first students are going to be the kids that I adopted and called into my family. At 13, my dad gave me $5 to go feed a homeless man. He only had one leg. I gave the homeless man $5. It was enough for maybe a sandwich. And the homeless man held my hand, and he thanked me so genuinely that it changed the way I saw life for a minute. And for the next 6 months, all I wanted to do was I wanted to become homeless so I could witness to the homeless. I wanted to feed the homeless. I wanted to be like John the Baptist when I was a kid. I wanted to survive in the desert. I wanted to live off locusts and honey and only the Spirit of God. I read about Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days with nothing to eat, and I thought, as only a 10-year-old can think, well, if God can do that for Jesus, God can do that for me. No problem. I'm going to try that. I did not try that. Spoiler alert. And I think it's because I've matured a little bit, which is not bad. Maturity is great. But life has also beat me up a little bit, too. I've kind of chosen the route of responsibilities and school and steady jobs. If I go on a missions trip, it's probably not going to be to Africa. It's probably going to be 4 hours to San Francisco or whatever. That's okay. But when I look at the youth, when I look at our youth, when I look at the youth in the Central Valley, they are ready to go. Where are they ready to go? Wherever God sends them. They look at something and they say, okay, I can do that. Look, think of David. Think of David who saw the giant Goliath across a battlefield, and he had the faith to take nothing but a couple of stones and a slingshot. He said, no problem, my God's got this. I can take this by the horns. And that is the spirit I have seen in so many of our kids, not just in our church, but in so many youth ministries that I have visited across the Central Valley. So here's a question. How can we, as a church congregation, kind of tap into this energy of the youth and to utilize it to benefit this church in this age, in this city? It might not be fighting giants. But another example of the way young people can be leaders in our church is that of Samuel. As a boy, Samuel was called by God to be a prophet and a leader of the Israelite people. Samuel had a strong faith and a willingness to listen to God's voice, even when it was not easy or convenient. Like Samuel, young people in our church that I've had the gift of talking to can bring a fresh perspective and new ideas to our worship and our services and our community. We just have to be open to hearing their voices as an individual person, not just another kid. I got to spend great time with so many of our students at camp. And, you know, before the plague took me and I had to go home. But when you get to camp, as someone who has been to Hume Lake a couple years as a camper, that first day is phenomenal. You taste freedom for the first time, and you have new camp clothes, and you have money that you haven't spent yet on the first day, and the sun is shining, the sky is blue, there's new friends to meet, it's awesome. The world has opened you. There's so many overpriced coffees you can buy. It's wonderful. And like I kind of was expecting, my first day, I lost pretty much all of my kids immediately. We set up our cabin, put up our decorations. I turned around. They were gone. I was like, oh, awesome. I guess I'm going to go. Well, I don't know what to do as a counselor, but okay. I guess we're going to see how this goes. And in all honesty, as a first-time counselor, I was a little bit nervous because, let's be real here, when we can't find our 12-year-olds, they are not often in a corner somewhere praying. But I figured they were off doing what I did at camp. They were meeting new friends, swimming, hunting bears, and I just figured I'd catch up with them that night. So that night, after chapel, great chapel, it was a great week up at Hume, I asked some of them, hey, just three or four girls that I had lost, I was like, hey, what did you guys do? Like, how was your first day at camp? And this kind of blew my mind a little bit because it was not something I would have ever done. But these three or four girls, their first day of freedom and fun and exploration, they got together, they got their Bibles out, and they started reading the book of John. They said they didn't know where to start, so they just picked a book and started. And they showed me notebooks that they'd taken notes in. They had highlighted verses that they had questions about and that they really liked, and they read them to me. And when I tell you that that was the highlight of my entire week in the mountains, was listening to these wide-eyed girls who had gone out of their own volition and had opened their word. They showed me the verses that spoke to them the most, and it touched my heart so deeply that I went into the bathroom and cried and pretended I was brushing my teeth. It was only day one. But friends, I'm not that far out of youth myself. I've just graduated this year. But here's a request that I have. Do not discount our youth. Do not discount our children. Do not discount our young adults. As older siblings and parents, grandparents, an aunt or an uncle that always get stuck with babysitting, it's so easy to look at kids as just a schedule. As a society, children are not inherently valued anymore. They are no longer precious as they used to be, which is a crime. It is my firm belief that the American church needs to remember that famous verse in Matthew 19:14. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." God does not have grandchildren. And our children are so precious to him and so precious to us. I was talking to a friend of mine. She just went and served up at a different camp, not Hume Lake, at a different camp with a church in Lathrop. I can't remember the name of the church, but from what I gather, the youth group is pretty new, kind of like what we're doing here. 35 kids, I think, went up to camp. It was just a four-day camp. She was not serving as a counselor. She was just doing worship. But she got to see the last day of camp after 4 days. 35 kids, and out of 35 kids, 26 were saved. This generation is searching for acceptance. This generation is searching for love. Out of 8 girls in my cabin, 4 had parents that were divorced, and that is today's reality. And out of all 8 of my girls, they told me they felt like technology has been made to addict them to it. Growing up myself, it is completely different from how most of you in this room grew up. It is spiritual warfare all the time. It is difficult all the time. There is news and ideologies and politics and world stress and events that we get access to 24 hours a day, whether it's on our phones, our tablets, our laptops, at school, on the TV, when grandma is listening to Fox News for the fifth hour in a row. It is everywhere, and we can't really escape it. As a church, it is our job to come up to these youth. It is our job to love them. It is our job to listen to them. It is our job to make sure that they know they have a place in church, to know that they are valued as people in church. Youth fill our lives with this delight of seeing the world for the first time. Some of us are a little jaded. I'm very jaded. I popped out of the womb pessimistic. But it has been such a gift to serve with these children and to see their delight for God, to see their delight and excitement for the world. It is a beautiful gift. And I think, like, some of us might look at today's youth and we might be like, that's the future of the church. Uh-oh. That's fine. I'm pretty sure every generation has done that. But I would advise you to not forget the examples that we have of how to lead our children. Let's not forget the example of Mary. Mary was a 12-year-old girl, 12 to 14-year-old girl, who said yes to God's call. And through her faithfulness, Jesus was born. Let's not forget the example of Jesus himself, who began sitting at the feet of scholars when he was 12. And he began his ministry as a young man. Jesus showed us that young people can be filled with wisdom and compassion and a deep understanding of God's love. Young people in our church today are not just the future of our church, they are also the present, filled with energy and enthusiasm for serving their communities, for inviting their friends, for reaching out and spreading the gospel, for learning more, for worship. We just had a youth worship team, and can I just say, those rehearsals, after 5 years of being on worship team, those rehearsals were some of the most fun I had. I had 11-year-old girls arguing over who got to pray. It filled my heart so much. I would encourage us as a church community to find it in our hearts to offer these youth room, to offer these youth our wisdom that we have as adults, to offer them our experience, a listening shoulder, to listen to their crazy ideas, and to shower them in truth and love how Jesus does to us, because we are all God's children. They might be your child, but they are God's child first. So let's welcome our young people and encourage our young people in worship and our church community as a whole. Let's give them opportunities to lead and ways to contribute their gifts and ideas, and let us learn from their energy and their passion for God. As it says in this very famous verse in 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anybody look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's kind of all I got. Thank you so much for letting me share with you guys today. It has been such a privilege to work with your kids these last couple months. I started attending Northgate in mid-February, and just the way these kids have touched my heart has completely transformed my faith and how I look at the Bible. And I'm so excited to see a congregation that loves their youth so freely, because, my friends, that is just not the case in so many other churches. So I love you, Northgate. I'm going to go ahead and pray us out, and we will continue to worship together. God, our Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for the fact that we are all your child, that we are all precious to you. God, thank you for these little ones. Thank you for their faith. Thank you for their questions. Thank you for the fact that they know that this is a safe place to grapple with hard things, God. I pray that as a church, you will give us the wisdom to lead them well, that you will give us the softness of hearts to speak to them kindly and with respect, God. Thank you for who you are. You are so good. Thank you so much for your love and your blessing. And in your name we pray, amen.